As you know, we are going through a number of world religions, and tonight we are going to have a very, very brief overview of this movement called Wicca. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I think it's Wicca. That's how it's pronounced, okay? And we'll try to engage a little bit as we go, first of all, through definition, and then trying to get the origins of the movement in modern times, followed by main beliefs and general beliefs, and then a final Christian assessment of that belief. So here we are. Apparently, I think it comes from, and by the way, just to let you know, I'm not original at all, and I'm using references here from the Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm using references here from a website, which is an interesting one. It's called Focus on the Family website, and it was quite helpful with a particular article on the issue, and other bits and sources that I looked up on the web. So Wicca can be grouped with other religions under the umbrella of New Paganism. As the word indicates, it reflects a return to certain pagan practices predating the establishment of Christianity as the majority view over the past millennia or so. So as for definition, apparently, the word comes from the Anglo-Saxon word wiki. I really don't know how to pronounce the word. And it means to bend or shape nature to your service. Okay? It would involve practices that we would associate with witchcraft and beliefs or worldviews in line with pagan religions, with emphasis on nature and gods of nature. So it's the guys who like sometimes, you know, to meet, you know, in the woods, nature, and they would worship the elements. They would assign divine characteristics, let's say, to the sun, to the moon, and other bits, etc. Now, as for the origins of the movement, and by origins, we mean in modern times, okay? Because if it's a return to things that are very ancient, I'm aware of that. But in modern times, that it is a movement of return to ancient polytheistic forms of religion. So we have a founder, Gerald Brussel Gardner, and you have his date of birth and death, died in 64. And having spent most of his career in Asia, he got in touch with various local religions, and he was also in touch and was involved in reading esoteric Western literature. He returned to Britain in the 1930s and became involved with the occult community. That's interesting because, you know, you don't realize that these things were already there, sometimes almost underground, and you know, but still at work and present in British society. He would say, it's really hard to test whether it's true or not, according to the articles I read, he would say that it was after his contact with the New Forest witches in England in 1939 that he would establish Wicca, drawing much from that group of witches. After the repeal of witchcraft laws, he published Witchcraft Today, that was 1954, founded his first coven of followers. Coven, do you know that word? Okay. The circle, the group, you know. Apparently, for some groups in witchcraft, they like the number 13 for some reason. Not the 12, it's an interesting thing, but 13 is the number. But anyway, he formed his first coven, and with the assistance of High Priestess Doreen Valiente, he developed what became known as Gardnerian Wicca. Yes, I wonder how closely related he is to you, Sheena, because the surname is Gardner, so there you are. But here we go. Here we go. And of course, it's really hard to pinpoint and to describe the movement. It's very fragmentary, okay? So there are movements within the movement, okay? There have been many other Wicca movements taking upon the names of influential leaders or tendencies. So you have the Alexandrian Wicca, the fairy tradition, the Dianic Wicca with an emphasis on feminism, the Minoan Brotherhood with an emphasis on gay rights, the reclaiming tradition with an emphasis on the environment. And although predominantly right-wing at the beginning and conservative, the Wicca movement has shifted now towards a more progressive left-wing agendas. And it's interesting because the big word of our age is inclusivity. You have to be inclusive. And definitely, in their own way, they are. Now, beliefs. I have to say, this is very generic, okay, because anyone from the movement could say, well, I don't believe that. But generally speaking, I think this is the core of what they believe. Because it's a broad movement, there is a wide array of beliefs and practices, so the description here is very broad. They declare themselves to be pagan, drawing from ancient European as well as existing Asian religions like Hinduism. And we've already covered Hinduism in past Sundays. So here we go. Wiccans worship the mother goddess and her companion, the horned god. They say both of these deities manifest themselves in nature. For instance, they would acknowledge the sun as the female goddess. That's an interesting shift, okay? As a female goddess, and the moon as the god, the male god. You may also have heard of the goddess referred to as Mother Nature. Wiccans believe that the goddess is in everything, in rocks, in trees, the earth, and the sky. They have holidays. Most Wiccans celebrate 8 holidays or sabbats, centered on the solar circles, and estbats, centered on lunar cycles. These celebrations are supposedly times of heightened interaction between the natural and supernatural world. There's a famous place in Britain, Stonehenge, when it's the day of the solar, the summer solstice, 21st of June. So you will find many practitioners of this particular, let's call it cult, there, because it's a very significant date for them. With regards to the goddess, sometimes it is represented or associated with the ancient Greek goddess Artemis or Gaia, the goddess of earth. And sometimes they even dare to say to associate the goddess to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. And the horned god is often associated with the lusty Greek god Pan or the Egyptian god of the dead, Osiris. Magic, spell, and spell casting. Well, magic and spell casting are an integral part of Wicca. Wiccans say that spells are symbolic acts performed in an altered state of consciousness in order to cause a desired change. There are spells to overcome loneliness, to attract money, to bring in the power, and to bind an enemy, among others. Witches acknowledge that spells can be used to do good, but also to do harm. And Wicca has no central book, like the Bible, for Christians, like the Quran, for the Muslim people, for example. So no central book that spells out its beliefs. So witches practice their religion in different ways. Some witches meet in groups called covens or circles, and others will practice it alone. They don't get much involved with the other of the same faith. and a Christian assessment of that. And that's now, that's when I need you to have your Bibles in hand. There are a number of passages we're going to go through, okay? And hopefully we'll do it as quickly as possible. First of all, Christianity agrees about the reality of the spiritual world. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. And as you already know the drill, whoever finds it first and wants to read it out loud, you can do so. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to verse 13. Thank you. So our struggle, our battle is against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 to 15.
Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a
disgrace? 2 Corinthians.
Oh, sorry.
2 Corinthians. Thank you. So it is real. There is such an entity called Satan and others that the Bible generically addresses as being demons, evil spirits, or unclean spirits, you know, the three most generic designations of these beings that are there and have some certain, permission to operate to a certain level in the realities of this world, fallen world, as we live in it today. Second, worship God, not creation, because you notice the worship of sun and moon and stars and mountains and particular sacred trees or sacred grounds for that matter, or any particular animal that will convey somehow a spiritual, symbolic, meaningful element to what you practice and believe, etc. So, but what does the Bible say? So, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, and then verse 25. Romans chapter 1, 21 to 23, and then verse 25.
For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him forever. Amen.
Amen. So that's the problem of old idolatry. That's the problem of old polytheism. That's the problem of paganism in light of the Word of God as revealed to us through His Spirit. Also, the Bible will say, don't get in touch with or try to control spiritual forces. Okay? It's interesting. The Bible doesn't say they are not real. Of course, there's a lot of charlatans there. There's a lot of con men and women, okay? Really deceiving people in order to get their money. And I'm aware of that. But the Bible will say that there is an element of truth about the reality of these beings. And the passage here, two passages, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Back to Deuteronomy 18, Old Testament. I think it's page 161. No. Yes. 161. But now verses 10 to 12.
There shall not.
Yes.
There shall not be found a wrong life before you.
Thank you. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, you go flip back towards the beginning of the Bible, chapter 19, verse 26, page 98 in the Church Bibles. Verse 26, Leviticus 19. So the part here, you shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes, as an attempt to understand the meaning of something that's happening, or an attempt to find an answer to a problem you are having, you know, as people do, you know, reading the bottom of, you know, of a cup, you know, with coffee, or as they used to in the past, you know, they would cut up an animal, take the liver, and by looking at the liver, try to do it. In Brazil, there is it's not Wicca, I know, but that's why, you know, it can be so broad as you understand. There's an African religion, very, very strong in some parts of Brazil. You get, you know, seashells of a particular shape, and you rattle them, you know, and then you throw them, and then you interpret them and tell what's happening or what will happen, what's laying behind some problem or situation in life. And the Bible says, don't do it. Not simply because of the con men and women, but because you're tapping into something that can be quite harmful on a number of levels, but as well can be quite dangerous. And of course, Jesus is the real source of power. Because I don't know if you notice, you know, if the definition of Wicca is from the Anglo-Saxon, it means to bend or shape nature to your service. There is an element of power in the sense that you find ways in which you can manipulate spiritual realities either to produce something good or to produce harm, something bad. But you have rituals, you have some text, some vocabulary you use in such a way that you can bind spiritual forces and make them do things according to your will. So there's an element of power there in the way the practitioners might find it very attractive if you can really do it. But the real source of power, according to the Bible, is Jesus. For example, power restoring human dignity. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. So he is the light of men in places and times of darkness, in a state even of darkness, spiritual darkness. Instead of searching other lights, you go to Jesus. He is the one who can restore you to that original light that was there in the beginning, because in the beginning was the Word, and restores you in the process. But also read verses 12 to 14 in same chapter 1 of John's Gospel. 12 to 14.
But to all who did receive him, full of grace and truth.
So in which sense human dignity has been restored according to this passage? That's what Jesus became in order to bring us together with him to the place where he is originally from. Our humanity is restored by the God who becomes flesh like us and shows us a new way of being human, quite different from what we actually are compared to the kind of man he was during the days he walked here on earth. But also he is the real source of power because he values women as true worshipers. It's not a provenance only of the Wicca religion to be open or to facilitate place and space for women. John chapter 4, verses 21 to 26. John chapter 4, verses 21 to 26. 26 and 26 as well. 26, 25 and 26, sorry.
The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is who speak to you, are he.
So So Jesus revealing himself as the Son of God and the Messiah. He is revealing himself to a woman. And Jesus says to the woman, the time is coming when you will worship in spirit and in truth. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Samaritan or you are now in your sixth relationship that you don't even dare to call a marriage anymore. What matters is the power of Jesus Christ to value you and to transform you into true worshipers of the true and living God. And but also we can see that Jesus is the true source of power when throughout his ministry here on earth, he showed his power by rebuking the evil one and the evil forces on a number of occasions. And I have just a few passages here for us to go through. First one is Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. Page 882.
Brothers.
Thank you. My question to you, was Jesus' prayer answered? You know the story. Was it? Yes. Yes. So when Simon was there, afraid and denying Jesus and cursing others because, you know, he was afraid of dying and he rejected and he could say that he was an apostate to a certain extent, and yet he became a foundational, an important leader for the emerging, you know, church in the first century as one of its pillars in Jerusalem and elsewhere. Satan wanted to do something, but I prayed for you. And no matter how powerful we might think Satan is, Jesus' intercession is yet even more powerful. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. Acts 16, 16 to 18. There you are. Was the Spirit telling a lie? Some people like to use the grammar to say that it was, you know. They would say that what the Spirit was actually saying was something along the lines, these are servants of the Most High God. That is true, isn't it? Who proclaims to you a way of salvation rather than the way of salvation. But I think ESV is right in the way it translated it. Because I think that's, you know, that Spirit was trying to say. When the spirits confronted by Jesus would say, why have you come to torment me, Jesus, the Son of God, or something in those lines. I know who you are. And Jesus told them to shut up. It's interesting, he's saying the truth, and yet not with a purpose of bringing glory to God. And the power of evil was rebuked by the apostles using the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And a final passage, Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus will carry on using an illustration saying, you know, when you have, you know, a strong man in the household, the only way to control him, it is if someone who's stronger than him enters the house, binds him up, and then take whatever is in the house. So Jesus, in his ministry, empowered by the Spirit, was the very manifestation of the kingdom of God against the false, the usurping kingdom of evil, trying to deceive people and lead them away from the Lord. So, just to very quickly to remind ourselves. So, Wicca has to do with words like witchcraft, sorcery, enchantments, charms, fortune-telling, mediunic powers, invoking spirits or the dead, etc. It is a resurgence of ancient pagan religions. It's very much attuned with the type of religion that will worship the elements, the nature. And it's a fragmentary type of religion. Sometimes tend to be very popular on the entertainment media, these ideas. You find it in sitcoms and movies. It's all interspersed in a number of ways. And it is the description of a spiritual reality that actually does not match what we see really according to the Word of God and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus confronted these powers, rebuked these powers, and established himself as not only just the Most High, but the one and true God of the whole world. Questions and answer?